Mate, thanks first of all for being willing to do this.
That's fine.
It's not easy, and I've heard a bit of your story, but can you just kick us off by just sharing what it was like for you growing up in a home where domestic and family violence was present?
Yep. As I start that, I just want to acknowledge that my story isn't the most dramatic or the most violent, that I've met many other people who've had it far worse than I have, and some of those people do attend this church and have attended here. So it certainly wasn't the worst. To give you a categorisation of what my family was like, I hated the movie Muriel's Wedding because the father, the overbearing and over-the-top father with the emotionally browbeaten mother, was my family. Now, everything else about the sister shopping for the wedding and everything like that was not real. But during that movie, I wanted to stand up as people were laughing and say, stop laughing at my family. For me, it wasn't a comedy. It was too close to the bone. I can't remember one of the very first incidents of domestic violence on a larger scale because I was about 2.5. Everybody apparently was sitting around the family table. My mother disagreed with my father, and he picked her up, dragged her into the bedroom, threw her against the cupboard, and beat her and bruised her. That night, she slept in my sister's bedrooms, about probably 6 and 8 at that stage. And at that stage, during the mid-60s, Mum had to get Dad up in the morning ready for work. And there was a problem because the alarm clock was in the bedroom on the other side of the room, and someone had to go in past my sleeping father and retrieve that alarm clock without waking him up, with the potential of more violence happening. That task fell to my 6-year-old sister, and I can't imagine what fear and anguish she went through as she went into a room where her father was laying asleep, afraid, and having been in the conversation where 3 ladies talked about who was going to retrieve that, to tiptoe over the other side of the room and bring that back. And so I share that as an example of what happened in my family, but also as an illustration of the respect I have for my sisters and other women who have to negotiate violent men. I had a brother, and when my dad was disciplining him, that was extremely violent. My dad's discipline was unrestrained and angry. My brother probably had some psychological issues, and as he screamed and yelled and ran away from my dad, that hyped my dad up, which hyped my brother up, which hyped him up. So when he left home, the level of violence did drop down. I've seen my dad pick up a solid dining room chair and throw it across a dining room at my mother. Dad's physical discipline was meted out with an unrestrained anger. He would also verbally just abuse with foul language. So if he came home and something broke and he was asked to fix it, he would start off with, you know, effing hell, a man comes home from work and you effing little S's just bugger everything up just to annoy him. And that kind of angry, foul-mouthed triad of abuse would be directed for 5 or 10 minutes as he carried on. So that's how he carried on there. When I was about 15, he was in an angry fit of rage at my sister, who was probably 17 or 18, and he punched her in the stomach with such force that he lifted her off the ground and she moved probably 1.5 metres or 2 metres across a room and bounced off a bed. And at 15, being a boy and being afraid of what this man could do, I stood between them and sought to break this up. And he said to me, don't you get involved. I haven't started on you and I don't want to start on you. I chose to stay. He fairly quickly after that calmed down, and the violence on that day ended.
Well, thanks for sharing some of that. How did you and your siblings actually cope and manage that volatile situation you were living in for all those years?
Yep. It was all about managing Dad and his anger, because that could explode at any stage. So when he got angry, it would quite often get out of control, but whether that turned to violence or not was a different thing. And we'd seen enough violence that we didn't want it to tip over that edge. When I was about 20, I was watching TV late at one night and the sport was on, and something happened that I quite liked and I cheered, and my mother was sleeping lightly and she came into the lounge room and was quite angry with me, fussing with me to be quiet. And it wasn't you're disturbing us and you're being inconsiderate, which I probably was. It was, if you wake him up, I'm afraid of what will happen. And there's a big difference between those two. I've been cranky at my kid. Come on, I'm trying to get to sleep. I've got to get up at 5 and go for a bike ride. But there's a big difference between, you know, if you wake someone up, violence could happen.
So you're obviously a survivor of domestic and family violence, mate, but how has this impacted you as you've grown into adulthood, and particularly your role as a husband and also a father?
For a long time, I hated my dad, and I've kind of worked that through and worked that through from a Christian perspective, so you kind of don't need to kind of counsel me about that this afternoon or anything like that. But my personality is similar to my dad, and so I made very conscious choices not to be like him. And perhaps it was a blessing that I was similar in personality to him, because I thought, well, I definitely don't want to have similar behaviour. So I've made very conscious decisions to act and behave differently. And the main reason I am a follower of Jesus is because I think history shows that he rose from the dead. I think that's the most logical conclusion. And so I will follow him because that proves he's God and has power over death and life. A very helpful consequence of that is that there is a very clear framework on how we should live, and that we should transform our minds and lives to be like Christ. And I've committed my life to that, and so I imperfectly follow that track.
And obviously you have a perspective on this as a man. So how do you think men view other men perpetrators of domestic violence?
Yeah. That's a good question, because I know this man and I've experienced this man post being in my family, and some of those men that I've experienced have attended this church here. Violence against your spouse or children is uncontrolled anger, and it's attempt to control and possibly to humiliate. Quite often it's said that it's about power, but it's also about rank. And perhaps power implies rank, but I think rank's not explicitly mentioned enough. I think this behaviour underlines what manhood is, and it raises the question, well, what's a man? And that's, a very deep ocean that you can dwell. But in brief, manhood is a subset of adulthood, and adults have all the normal ranges of emotion. So as a man, you will feel joy and ecstasy, and you'll have days of depression and downness, and you'll have days of anger and frustration. So how do you work through that and model that within your life? When a male in an adult body fails to do this consistently with violence or fear in their family, then I think other men sense they're not an adult and they don't respect them as a man. And I want to say that really clearly. If you have your family in fear or you were violent against them, other men look at you when they know that and they don't see you as a man. Manhood implies that adulthood, and it implies appropriate conflict resolution. And with that, we'll all have our good days and we'll all have our bad days, and we'll all have days where we look back and think, I could have handled that and wish I'd handled that better. But if there's a pattern of fear or incidents of violence, then you're betraying your own manhood.
So there's this actual loss of respect for men when we pick up that's happening. How do they... That's not a lost cause, though. How do they actually gain that respect back in your eyes?
I think they can gain that back, and they gain it back by admitting that they've got a problem and talking to someone who's a professional and committing themselves to a journey of relearning different habits. And I sincerely believe that when other men notice males in an adult body, admit that and commit themselves to a track of changing their habits and changing their behaviours and learning new ways, that they recognise how difficult that is and respect them for it. And through that, I think they gain that respect back.
And finally, what would you say, mate, to any men who have struggled with domestic and family violence in their own behaviours or in their home, or maybe people here know of those men? What do we say to those men?
Sure. First up, to the other men who aren't in that boat, I'd say, because I know this man, I know that they don't listen to women. And so there's a very big need for men to stand up and take the lead in being unequivocal that this behaviour is not acceptable, and to confronting other men when you hear of this or know of this. To the men who are struggling with this, I'd say think of your children and think of yourself, because all children want to respect and love their parents. They want to grow up and love mum, they want to love dad. And the longer you leave it, the higher the likelihood is that as they become adults, they will disrespect you. Because when they're adults, they'll go, you didn't treat me right, you didn't treat mum right when we were children and when mum was your mother growing up, and you behaved appallingly. And they will look down on you and they will disrespect you. And at that time, they will tell others because you will no longer have control over them. And so they will tell others what it was like. Some will be very quiet about that because they're ashamed, but others will tell a lot. And at that stage, the cat will be out of the bag. And if you let your children control when the cat's out of the bag, it will be too late for you to get the respect of your children back. So to those men who are in that situation, if they're in this audience today, I would say act while you have time to get the respect of your spouse and your children and your neighbours back. If you leave it too long, you will be exposed, but it's the higher likelihood that it'll be too late for you to gain that respect back.
Wayne, I want to thank you for sharing a bit of your story. It's only a real snapshot because I've heard a little bit more, but there's a vulnerability and there's a risk in what Adrian shared with us today, and I just want to thank you that we can hear that and hold that story and learn from it, hopefully. So would you just join with me in just thanking Adrian and mate, well done. Thank you.
Thank you.